Please welcome Sarah Ellsworth Hoffman to the stage.
Thank you. All right, here. I'm going to make this a little tinier. All right. Good whispering length. Okay. Let's clear the air up here. Clear. Okay. This year was my husband Sean's 40th birthday. And what he wanted to do for his 40th birthday was to go to the Upper Peninsula, Pitchard Rocks National Lakeshore, and do that backpack camping thing where you carry everything in and you hike alongside. And man, it sucked. I powered through, and about day four, when it was raining, Sean gave me a bone and was just like, you know, hey, you've done a really good job. How about we hike back into town and find a shower and some beer? And I'm like, yes, let's please do that. I really just want a shower so bad. And so we did. That morning, we packed up everything and we hiked 9 miles back out to our car. And the point we were at, thankfully, was only 9 miles. And we went to the next biggest small town, which was Grand Marais. And in Grand Marais, we lucked out, and there was a brewery, Score, went inside. Awesome atmosphere. It was full of locals, really cool taxidermy. And they had fish tacos. That was the thing that day. And I was so happy. I'm sitting there. I'm eating fish tacos. I'm drinking a beer. I'm not in the rain. And we're meeting all the locals. So chit-chatting with everybody. And this woman sitting next to Sean, we're going to call her Erin. Erin starts chit-chatting with us. And Erin is your quintessential hippie Michigan woman. She is in her late 40s, early 50s. She's got the big white blousy top with the tie, and she's got on light denim flared jeans with holes in the knees, and she's got chunky jewelry, and she's got really, really frizzy red hair, and she is just high energy, and she loves Sean and I because she knows we're musicians. So she's talking about when she was in a band and all these cool things they did and all the crazy people you meet, and we're learning about people at the brewery because she just happens to own the brewery. So Erin is introducing us. You know, I wanted to meet the brewer, but he actually had a bad tooth. So this is the part of stuff I get to know. I'm just like, oh, and Angela, his wife, babysits the kids on occasion. You know, Brian does this. And we're getting to know everybody, and it's really wonderful. And so they start asking questions about us, and we explain why we were there. And Sean's like, yeah, I promised her a shower and some food and somewhere to sleep tonight that wasn't on the ground. And she goes, oh, there's nowhere to stay in Grand Marais. There's nothing around. But tell you what, because you guys are musicians, why don't you come over to my house and you guys can take a shower, you can do some laundry, we'll drink some wine, because she also owns a winery in Eugene, Oregon. We'll go drink some wine, we'll sit around the fire, we're going to play some music, and then later you guys can come back to the bar and play music to earn your keep. Sean looks at me, he goes, Sarah, what do you think? And I hear shower, and I'm like, I'm in. Let's do this. So we start rallying up, and you're not going to believe this part. This part, out of all the things, you're not going to believe this part. But on our way out with Erin from the brewery, she runs into her high school sweetheart who just happened to be in town to come see her. Now, weird, he brought his mother and his son with him. She's just like, awesome, I'm going to invite everyone over to my house. So high school sweetheart, she's like, come over in about an hour. And I'm just like, oh, cool, this is our adventure. Now we know what we're going to do for the rest of the night. We have somewhere to go. I got a shower lined up. This is going to be great. So we all kind of get into Erin's Jeep. And she's like, we got to get wine first. So we drive out to this barn on the water. And she says, she's like telling us everything about herself. Like, her husband is out of town right now. And isn't it crazy that Joe, her high school sweetheart, just happened to be in town. So my husband's out of town. And oh, Joe's in town. This is kind of crazy. And, you know, I just had a kid not so long ago. And, you know, they called me a geriatric pregnancy, because this is the level of friendship we're at now. She's telling us all. And we're just like, cool, this is great. buzzed on beer already. So we pull up to this barn, and she opens the door, and there inside there's like one of those sliding barn doors, and she opens up like Willy Wonka style to a wall of crate wine. Like, and she's just like, "What do you like, red or white?" And we're just like, "We like red. Let's get some." We're seeing all the wine, and we hear this rustling upstairs. There's an apartment up there, and this man starts to walk down, and she's like, "Oh, that's probably my brother-in-law. He's a real stick in the mud. I'll invite him over, but he's no fun." So he comes down, and he's just kind of doing the whole, like, "The fuck is happening here?" Kind of eyes Sean and I, and looks at Aaron, and just kind of like, there's a lot of nonverbal communication going on. And all Aaron does is she grabs a crate of Syrah, and she goes, "You know, this is my wine, and I can take it whenever I want." Okay. You know, we're just like, hi, just, we're here, we're going to drink this wine. And she's like, "Do you want to come over to my house? Everyone in town's coming over to my house." And he's just like, and just went back upstairs. "We don't care. Right, great. Let's all pile back up into the Jeep." Actually, we did grab our car at this point. But we did follow Aaron and her crate of wine out to her house out in the woods. Now, it wasn't so far into the woods that we could still smell and feel the breeze of Lake Superior, but beautiful cabin in the woods. And greeting us there is this beautiful white fluffy dog. And I think you say it's either a Samoyed or a Samoyed, however you want to say that big fluffy white dog. If anyone knows, one always smiles. And the dog's name, guys, is Django Winehart. So super happy dog. We're just pulling in. This is exciting. We're going to have this party, and we're carrying stuff in. Like, I'm bringing in like my backpack with laundry and stuff, and she's carrying the crate of wine, and Aaron props it up against the door, and she's fiddling for the keys, and she's just like, "I just want to let you guys know that red wine kind of makes me weird." And we're just like, "Yeah, I know." She's like, "By the end of the night, we might be all in bed together." And we're like, and we go in. So we go inside the house, and beautiful house, beautiful artwork, lots of wood, a little bit A-frame, so a little bit open concept. Perfectly clean, which is weird, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but if I just randomly met people at the bar and brought them over to my house, there'd be a ton of dirty dishes and something weird on the floor. But like, it was perfectly clean. And just kind of scoping it out, like, "Oh, this is nice stuff." And she takes us to the backyard. She has this beautiful big backyard with a fire pit, and you know, Django's jumping around, we're playing fetch, and we start a fire, and we open up this beautiful, oh, it was delicious wine. It wasn't crap wine, No offense, anyone from Michigan, crap Michigan wine. It was nice wine. And we're sitting around, and she brings out a guitar, and we're playing music, and we're telling stories. Oh, one cool thing about this brewery is that there were framed pictures of Jim Harrison on the wall. I don't know if you guys know who Jim Harrison is, but he's an American writer. He's really known for Legends of the Fall. That's what he wrote. And he passed away a couple years ago, but he was actually a frequenter of this brewery, so it was like really exciting, and I have a bunch of his books. So I'm like, "Aaron, tell me about Jim Harrison, you know, what was he like?" And she goes, "Oh, he would have loved you. In fact, if he was here right now, he would have crawled over to you on all fours and nibbled your ear." Okay. So I'm like, "All right, well, maybe I should start scoping out that shower, because that was on my mind, and we're at the point now, you know, we're drinking a lot of wine, doing a lot of cigarette smoking, chain smoking." Well, I wasn't, but Sean was, and it was his birthday, so I wasn't going to bitch at him for that. But, like, everyone's smoking and drinking wine, and I'm realizing, like, I'm like, there's no reception in this yard. I'm just like, man, I got like one spot, and I had a couple of friends that I actually messaged a little bit just to make sure. Just like, "Oh, hey. I met this cool person. We're doing this thing. This is great. We're not on the trail anymore." But I decided this was the moment. I don't know if you ever get this point when you've been drinking, because we had a couple bottles of wine, where you reach this point where you're like, if I'm going to get anything done, I need to do it now. So I'm like, if we're going to set up a tent, if I'm going to take a shower, if I'm going to do laundry, I got to do it now. So I excused myself, just as high school sweetheart and his family was coming in, some of the other locals. So I'm just like, perfect time, slip into a shower. Oh, it was an amazing shower, and I'm doing laundry, and I'm feeling good, and I'm coming out a new woman. And then I go back out to the bonfire and everyone's pretty turnt. And Sean hands me the guitar and Aaron's like, play another song, Sarah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I remember just looking, just like, whew, oof, all right. I don't know if I can do this anymore. She's like, come on, Sarah, play another song. I'm like, I really don't think I can do this anymore. I can't play anymore. And all of a sudden I turn around, I'm like, hang on, where's Sean? And she's like, oh, I'm sure he's just taking a shower. And if I know anything about my husband, he's not going to take a shower. So I'm going to go find him. So I go inside and I find him on the couch and he's like in a weird fetal position. In fact, he has shoved his head in like the couch cushion, like got his head in there. And there is red wine, fish taco vomit everywhere inside the couch cushions. Okay. Sean isn't dead. No, he is non-responsive, but I need to get him up. I need to get him out of this puke. I don't know this house, so I've got to find a trash can, and I got to find cleaning stuff, so I am frantically finding a trash can, and I'm just scooping this into the trash can, and I am panicking because Aaron and everyone's coming inside right now, and I fling Sean onto the other side, and I grab the couch cushion, I pull off the covers, and I kind of get most of it into the trash can, and I intercept Aaron, and I'm like, Aaron, oh my God, I am so sorry. Sean got sick, and I'm going to clean it up, and Aaron just looks at me, and I know that she meant to say something like, well, I let you guys into my house. You know, it's on me. You know, I just invited you guys in. But what came out was, I let you into my house. Aaron, I am so sorry. I will make it right. And she then leaves me, and she goes to take Joe, sweetheart, outside in the family, and I take everything and I throw it in the washer and I'm cleaning, and she just walks through the house and goes back out to the fire pit and clean up Sean, clean up the floor. Right, we're all right, things are in the washer, we got a game plan, and Sean is unresponsive, so we're not going anywhere for a bit. So I'm like, all right, I can bide my time, I'm going to just go check on Aaron really quick. And she's mad, but she's not really mad at me. She's just kind of frustrated. And I realize this, a lot of stuff is just through context clues from a drunk person. But I've gathered that she doesn't know where her daughter is. No idea. And hasn't known where she has been all day. And from what I've gathered, Sean, the brewer, had a bad tooth, and his wife, Angela, who normally watches Anya, Aaron's daughter, and her daughter, went 2 hours away to go get that tooth fixed. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have been to ReadyMed, but that's not somewhere you bring kids 2 hours away. I was like, all right, none of my business, but don't worry, I'm sure Anya's going to turn up. You know, there's no cell phone reception here. You know, I'm sure they'll call eventually. And then begins, for all of us that have known anyone who has drank too much, the drunk woman rant. She then takes this moment to tell me everything that has done her wrong in her life. And you know what? I got a shower, and I've worked in a bar. I can put up with this. So it's the, my high school sweetheart came to town, can you believe it? And my husband is so boring. And I'm an independent woman, and everyone in this town is out to get me. And I'm a strong, independent woman, and no one understands me. And it's just the secular just going on and on and on and telling me. And I'm just, I'm going to listen. I can listen. And thankfully, Angela finally calls. Angela calls. I happen to have the phone for whatever reason, so I give it to Aaron, and she picks up, and all she goes is, you talk to her. Okay, and so I have the phone, I'm like, hi, this is Sarah. It's Angela. Hey, Angela. And the only thing that's going through my mind is I think that because I had mentioned at the bar that I used to work in oral surgery for 8 years, worked in oral surgery practice. I'm like, they want to talk to me about the tooth. I don't know. So hi. And she's like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, great. How was your day? And she goes, oh, we've been at an art festival all day. Okay. How's Sean's tooth? Oh, he's fine. I gave him some ibuprofen. Cool. Okay. Great. And I just gave the phone back and Aaron just hung up. And we look at each other and I'm like, so where's Anya? And she goes, oh, she's going to stay the night with them. They'll bring her in the morning. Okay. She goes, so you want to go to the bar and play music? And I just, we were in the living room at that point. I'm like, Sean's kind of out of commission. He's not going to be ready for a while. Maybe he'll be ready later. But right now, we're really not going anywhere. She didn't like that. I decide we can just chit chat for a little bit. And so I start becoming very apologetic because I'm like, I know you wanted us to go play music, Aaron, but we just had a little bit too much to drink and I don't think we can do that right now. And I just really appreciate that you let us come over to your house and let me shower. And she's like, oh, Sarah, you're so sweet and you're so pretty. And she touches my face. I'm going to change the subject real fast. Thank you so much. You were so nice to me. Thank you so much for saying all those nice things and letting me do laundry and letting me take a shower. I really appreciate it. She goes, yeah, I saw your greasy ponytail in the bar. I saw you. Okay. I really like this artwork on your walls. That's a really great painting right there. She goes, that's a print. There is photo collage on the wall. You know, like those things that you can buy that's like multiple holes to frame pictures in? And that's on the wall. I'm like, I kind of look at that and she goes, that right there, that's my whole world. And I look at it and it's like all sepia tone photos in there. And there's like a windmill and a field and a genderless child being embraced by somebody. And I'm... Aaron's not in there at all, and I'm just great, but to me it looks like stock photography that you bought and just stuck on the wall, but I'm not going to question any of that. But for whatever reason, Aaron gets it in her head that maybe we can watch some Netflix, kill some time. Great, now we can focus on something that's not each other. And she's really into the show called Catastrophe, which if anyone has ever seen this show, it's about a American man and an Irish woman, and they meet in London on a business trip, and she gets pregnant, and it's the whole rom-com thing of like, let's figure this out, and I'll come there, and blah, blah. So she's really into this. And so I've already reserved the fact, I'm like, we're not going anywhere, like... I can deal with drunk Erin and her rants, and I can spend the night watching Netflix with her. That's fine. I'm grab our sleeping bags because there's no way we're getting... I could probably even move Sean. Like, he is dead weight. So I put some sleeping bags in the living room. I'm kind of gathering our stuff, getting things together. And I sit down and start watching the show with her. And it's starting to get dark. And it comes to a part in the episode where they take the woman who's pregnant and the doctor is kind of like being very rude, kind of considering her a geriatric pregnancy. And Aaron's like, yeah, that's me, like that. And I'm like, yeah, I remember you were talking about geriatric pregnancy earlier because we're so close. And she's like, yeah, this is me. This is my story. This is my story. That's my story. And they're watching me. And she turns off the TV. Oh, she's crazy. No, she's legit crazy. And all I can think about right then is that Sean's dead. Dead weight, absolutely dead weight. No cell phone reception. No one knows where I am. I don't know where I am. And I have a woman who is insane. All I know is I'm going to be her best friend. So right after this, she starts again with her cycle. Again, the rant, The cycle keeps going, but each time it's a little bit more delusional. Not only has Joe, her high school sweetheart, come to visit her, they love each other. He came to save her. They were going to run away together. The townspeople don't just hate her, they're conspiring against her. And I'm just like, yep, girl, you are strong. You can get, you are fine. This is great. And certain point, she tries to get us to go back to the bar again. And I'm like, no, Sean's not awake. We're not going to go to the bar. We're not going to play music tonight. And she goes, I get this crazy idea, guys. I get this crazy idea that I can just wait this out. She has not stopped drinking wine this whole story, okay? She has not, like, we have gone, I am not exaggerating when this woman had 5 bottles of wine to herself. Like, she's going to crash, right? She's going to crash. No, I didn't take into consideration that I have a woman with Irish heritage that owns a brewery and a winery with mental health problems. She's going all night, but I think I can fix this. So my goal is to get her into bed. I'm just going to coax her that way and get her into bed. And I'm like, Aaron, guess what? We should all take a nap, and then maybe we can go play music. So I scoot her into her bedroom, and she's upset, and she's doing the same thing, telling me the same stories every time in a row. And she's upset because she didn't get Django any dog food, and she forgot again. I'm like, it's okay. I'll find some dog treats and some Wonder Bread, which I did, and I gave it to the dog. I'm like, Django's fine. Here's a glass of water. Here, let me get you into bed. And you know when people have that natural lapse in conversation that indicates an end? It never happened for us. She wouldn't let me leave. She just kept going, and I was still working on being her friend, and I just wanted her to lay down. So I figured if I got into bed with her, maybe she'd stop. So I did. I crawled right into bed with Erin, and I held her hand and let her tell me her stories, and over and over and over, and after an hour, I am done, because she hasn't passed out yet. She hasn't touched her water. I'm finicking over it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I start to leave the bedroom, and she screams, "They stole my baby!" Oh no, Aaron, they didn't steal your baby. Anya's staying over at Angela's. We talked about this. She goes, "They stole my baby, and you're gonna take me over there, and we're gonna get her. We're gonna get my baby. You're gonna drive me right now." No, Aaron, no, I just need you to lay down. Everything is fine. She's fine. And Aaron is twisting around in her sheets. She's fully clothed, and she's in her pillow, and I'm over it. I'm done. She's going to tire herself out. She's going to tire herself out. So I go back to the living room. Remember my day, guys? I started out with a 9-mile hike. I am done. I crawl back into my sleeping bag, and all the rustling has stirred up Django, and Django went in to go check on her. And she's talking, and she's still doing this, she's still doing that, but it's a little bit different this time, because I realized that she never needed me to tell her story, because she's talking to the dog. She's talking to Django all about what she was talking to me about, but now she's talking about Sean and I. So I'm listening to her talk about Shauna. She's like, "Man, I met these musicians at the bar, and man, they are really cool, and they're really good musicians, but I got them too drunk, and they had too much to drink, and they said that they would play music, and we agreed on playing music. That was our trade, but now they won't get up, and everything's all screwed up, and nobody respects me." And I listen, because she whispers, she goes, "Listen, I'm going to make a meat pie in the morning, and everything's going to be okay." Now, I am wide awake. There's no going to sleep now, because if scary screaming scary, crazy screaming wasn't enough. Crazy whispers are worse. And I wasn't going to wake up to Aaron dancing around my sleeping bag with a knife. But right then, she tumble flops out of bed. And she comes in the living room, and I just pretend to be asleep because that's what we're doing now. This is my coping. So I pretend to be asleep. She didn't even pay attention to me. She storms past, and she kicks open the front door, half naked, with a phone. Now, a cell phone. Now, she didn't have a cell phone before, but she's talking to somebody, and she's doing the same thing, except I'm in the story now. She's telling me in the story now. And it's either the world's longest voicemail, or she's talking to nobody, which is what I'm banking on. She's talking to nobody on the phone. And I can see her, because she had been propped, and she, like, flopped into an Adirondack chair on her porch, and I can see her feet, her bare feet, kind of bouncing around while she's telling the story, so I can see her while I'm laying in my sleeping bag. And the door is flung open, and Lake Superior cold night air just washes over the living room, and I hear a rustle next to me. And I look, and Sean kind of wakes up, and he's like, "Hey." Like, she can't know he's awake, okay? I turn to Sean and go, "Shh, don't say a word. She's crazy." Sean looks at me, takes the cue, closes his eyes, goes limp. Thank God. Because right then, Aaron comes back inside, and she... And I'm doing an Oscar-worthy performance of being asleep. She plops down into the armchair next to me, and she kicks my pillow with her foot. And she goes, "Hey!" And I pretend to be awake. "Yeah, wake up." And I look at her, and she takes a drink of wine. She goes, "Hey, you ready to go play music?" And as she drinks, the red wine runs down the front of her white shirt. "No, Aaron, I think we're just too tired. I don't think that we're going to be able to play music tonight. I'm really sorry. We're really tired. We just had too much. I'm sorry." And Aaron is visibly disappointed. And she takes another drink of wine, completely missing her mouth. And she goes, yeah, "I might be a little drunk too." And I feel really bad. Something in me feels kind of sorry for her, like she's this mess of a woman right now. And I still need to be her best friend. So I'm like, "Hey, Aaron, are you okay?" And she's playing on her phone, which has no reception. I don't know what she's looking at. I don't know. She's messing around on her phone. She's kind of smirking and looking at it and doesn't look up for me. And she goes, "Sarah, I'm not okay. But that's part of me. Shh. Just go to sleep." And she gets up and goes to her bedroom. And it is the first time it's been quiet, and I don't like it. It is deadly silent, and I am exhausted by every definition of the word. I'm laying there on my back, and I'm wide-eyed, and I'm shaking, and I'm holding my sleeping bag, and I just am crying. Like, just tears. I am exhausted. Just tears are running down. And I can feel Sean looking at me, and I'm like, "I don't know what to do." And Sean's like, "Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get the f*** out of here." I'm like, "Okay, but we can't wake her up. I don't even know if she's asleep." So Sean's still drunk, so we're very quietly go get all of our things, as quietly as we can in an open concept cabin, drunk, and we're getting all our stuff together, and I do something crazy. I ask Sean, "Should we leave her a nice note?" Talk about Stockholm Syndrome, but I needed to leave her a note because this is my logic. I was terrified that she was going to wake up while we were leaving and not see a note. Like, be like, oh, no, we were going to leave you. No, we didn't want you to wake up. I was convinced that this was our saving grace. But this nice, nice Spartan house had nothing. So I'm, like, digging around trying to find a piece of paper and a pen in this house quietly in, like, panic. And I find a paper towel in the kitchen, and I look up at a dry erase board. And written on it, it says, to the prettiest, smartest, most wonderful mommy in the world, Heart Anya. And I'm looking at it because it's like very adult. I don't know how old Anya is, but it's very adult handwriting. And there's no dry erase pen, so I'm like, all right. But I remembered that there was a desk near Aaron's bed with a cup of pins. So I don't know if anyone has ever seen Return to Oz with Dorothy Gale going to, remember Princess Mumby when she goes for the key? That was me. So I am shaking, trying to grab this pen from the bedside while she's sleeping. And as I'm reaching for it, the horror finally washes over me. I don't think there's a child. I have not seen a bedroom. I have not seen anything that indicates that there is a child. In fact, nobody has talked about a child except for Aaron. And this freaks me out. So I grab the pen. I write her the nicest note. Do not leave my phone number. I do leave $20, though, for all the nice things that she gave us. And I turn before I leave, and I see Django in this sad little cinnamon roll in the corner, hiding as far as he can in the furthest corner of the house. And I know that Django has seen Aaron like this before. And I felt real bad. And guys, I honestly thought about taking Django with us. I'm sorry, Django. And I close the door. And I hop in the car and I drive because I'm more sober. So Sean and I drove and we peel out of there, and I don't think I breathe until I find a highway. And we had to find somewhere to sleep. I had probably been up 21 hours at this point. And I'm shook. We did eventually find a Quality Inn, the last room near the Mackinac Bridge a couple hours later. But now it was my turn to vomit, at least verbally, to Sean. And I'm kind of remembering everything, and I'm shaking, and I'm like, whoa, and then this happened, and I'm going through, and I'm like, Sean, she was crazy. And Sean kind of knowingly laughs. I'm like, why are you laughing? What is so funny? And with the boorishness of an inebriated man who has been asleep through a majority of this story, he says to me, he goes, Sarah, I could have told you she was crazy at the bar. The end.